This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're really pumped up about the upcoming draft. We're getting really fucking close to finding out where our picks will be. And we've been breaking down the top half of the draft so far. We've made it through pretty much the top 14 based on the Ringer's mock draft breakdown, with the exception of the top two picks, which we've held off going forward, up to this point anyway. And we're going to hold off on Evan Mobley and Cade Cunningham for just a little bit longer. Today we're going to be talking about Corey Kispert. He played at Gonzaga. They had a hell of a year, a historic year, in so many ways. Unable to complete winning the championship and go undefeated, but you can't discredit all the things that they were able to accomplish this year. And in the end, he was a huge part of that. We talked about Jalen Suggs, and Jalen Suggs was an outstanding player, a freshman, really showed up and was able to be the leader in so many ways, especially as a point guard. But the emotional leader and the spiritual leader and the guy who did all the intangible things was Corey Kispert. And he's not just an intangible guy either. He's got outstanding game. He really can shoot the ball. He can really drive. He plays great defense. So he checks all the boxes. There's nothing really that you can say, like, oh, this guy can't do. In the end, I think he's got an outstanding three-point shot that will translate well to the NBA. And he also has the ability to attack the hole that's going to play really well. He is 22 years old, so that's going to be the big thing. How does he fit in with us, if he does fit in with us, or what type of team would be looking for him? He's 6'7", and with a shot like he has, I really feel like there's going to be a spot for him in the league. It's just about getting him on the right team, because you don't want to see him on a bad team, because that's not going to be a good situation for him. I think he's the type of player that needs to be on a team that's trying to win right now and really puts him in a position where he's in the playoffs. That would be outstanding for him, and I think he would shine in that position and go on to have a long career in the NBA.
Yeah, Mark, you said it best, is that this young man, Corey, needs to be on a team that's ready to win now. Mark and I were circling teams that we felt like he'd fit best with, and I said something to Mark, if he was sitting there at 18, sitting there for Sam Presti to pick up, do we think that we'd pick it up? And the question would be, is where do you think Sam Presti sees his team? Are we going to be competing for a playoff position next year? If so, where is that going to be? Because adding somebody like Corey is adding like a very good season player on your team that's already knowing what he's going to be playing, the position he's going to do, the spot on offense that he's going to excel at, on defense where he needs to be. This is exactly the type of player you go out and get when you are a team ready to compete. Obviously, there's a bunch of those teams in the spots at between 13 and 16. So I don't think he's going to be available there for our taking. But I do know for a fact that if he was, I would be incredibly excited about it, because he's a guy that would come in ready to play, ready to make a difference right away. And he would be a leader that we would need. Obviously, leading that team for 4 years or 2 years at Gonzaga really makes a difference. But the reality is let's talk about his progression in his shot, and then I'll talk about the things that I like. His first year at Gonzaga, 2017 and 2018, he shot 35% from three-pointers, from three-point range. He shot 46% from field goal range, and in 2018, 2019, he got some more playing time in that time, 30 more games, and he was able to get his field goal percentage actually dropped at 43.7%. But he got his three-point percentage up at 37.4%. This is where we start seeing this massive change that Corey is going to prove that he can consistently do this in the NBA. Because repetition and proof that he can do this over and over again does make a difference. So here we go. 2019-2020, He shot 47.4% from field goal and 43.8% from three-point range. And you look at it and you're saying, okay, that's decent. And it is, because he shot 78 for 178 from three-pointers that year. That's pretty good. You drop down to 2020-2021, he shot 52.9% from field goal range and 44% from three-point range. He hit 91 of 207. Also this year, he upped his free throw percentage to 87.8%. Again, this is what you like to see, the progression in somebody that's coming to the NBA is proving that they can do it consistently. And he has a consistent film of his shot. He proves that he can catch and shoot. He proves that he can go around the player and finish. When he gets an opportunity to hit an easy shot, he doesn't miss it. That's why it's so important to have a player like him on your team. The way he shoots off the pass and he consistently moves without the ball means that he would fit in this Thunder team right away, meaning that he could play and average 9 points a game as is right now. He's that type of player. He would come and be ready to play. His shot is great, and the way that we move the ball so well, he would just fit in like a glove right away. His mechanics are always consistent, like I said, and it's proven that he's been able to do this over time. Taking a lot of shots, taking a lot of three-pointers proves that he can continue to do this. He took a lot of deep threes, and he continued to hit those as well. He's an insane finisher, like I said, and he doesn't miss. That's what I love about him. 52% from field goal means that he has a crazy, insane way of getting to that hole and finishing. Definitely the best shooter in the NCAA. Some people argue with that, but to me, he's the best shooter in the NCAA and also the best shooter in this draft. He has a polished defensive way of going about. I wouldn't call him great at defense, but I wouldn't say he sucks at defense. He's very polished. He's very ready to play in the NBA, and he's ready to go. And I do have to think that his upside is like Joe Ingles and plus his defense. So he can shoot like Joe Ingles, but he can play mad defense, and he has a motor that is insane. So I do think that he has a chance to be as good or not better than Joe Ingles. And that means that he has a chance to be a serious player on a contending team. So keep an eye out for him. Adam Morrison would be one of those guys I would say that if things don't go well and his shot slows down in the NBA because of the range difference, he could drop to an Adam Morrison out of the NBA in 5-6 years. Who knows? I don't know. But the reality is, Corey, to me, is one of those no-brainers if you're a contending team next year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's always a risk with these players that they won't be able to translate their game into the NBA. But in the end, I don't think there's a risk of him becoming Adam Morrison. I think, in the end, he will be in the NBA for the majority of his career, for, you know, multiple years. I'm talking like 8 to 10 years, because with his range, at his size, with his ball handling skills, the way he plays defense, you know, obviously you always put the exception of, you know, unless, you know, major injury. But if he stays healthy, he'll be able to be in a position to be in the league for a long time. This is just really draws out another example of why we believe that this draft is all about having as many picks as you can. I don't know that he would necessarily be the guy that we picked. But if we did pick him, I think, you know, it would speak to the direction that we're going to, like Dave said. But in the mock draft that I was looking at, the Ringer has Corey Kispert right next to Josh Giddey. And it really kind of, you know, brought things full circle. Really early on, we started out talking with Josh Giddey. I think he might have been the first person we talked about. I'm not even sure anymore. But, you know, the question is, you know, what would you rather? Would you rather Corey Kispert or Josh Giddey? And Dave and I both agree, you know, easily it's Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey is an outstanding player. And on top of that, he's only 18. And that's why we started focusing on, you know, the young players at the very beginning of this time. We were really, really talking about anybody who is 18 or 19. Now we're up, obviously, and we're talking about pretty much anybody who's listed highly on the draft. And Corey Kispert is 22 years old. And that is the only question about him. If he was 18 years old, I mean, I would be talking like we should do whatever it takes to get a player with his skill set at that age. But at 22 years old, It's all about getting value whenever you're later in the draft. And I think he could provide it, I would say, anywhere from the range of like 18 to 25. But the reality is I just don't see him going, getting past, 15, 16, 17, that range, because he's really at the he's at the point where he should go in the top 12. But if he doesn't, then, you know, he might fall, but it won't be for very far. He's just got too many skills that it's easy to say, you know, if you believe that your team is, you know, one role player, two role players away, he could help you out, go get another player, and you'll be in a better position. And there's a lot of teams that feel like they would be in a better position next year. The playoff race will be wide open. So a lot of teams will feel like, hey, he could help us become a better version of who we were last year. And if that's who teams want to be, then they should get him. And I don't know what that means for us and for our team, but that's just kind of how I feel about him.
Yeah, man. You know, and the reality of everything and where we're at, I really look at Golden State at 14, Boston at 16, even Memphis at 17. You know, that's the thing, is that there's so many teams right here that I look at who they are and what they're trying to do. If he were to drop, there's no way that he would drop to 18. The only way I think that we would be able to get him is if we dropped in the top or jumped into the top 13 picks, if not, someplace at, swapping with San Antonio. Again, I think even San Antonio would take him right now. I really do. There's just no way in my mind that this is the type of athlete that a team that's trying to prove that they're ready to compete wouldn't go out and get right now. Good contract, have a couple years before you have to worry about another contract. And the fact is that he'll be almost 26, 27 years old by the time that he's up for a big time contract, which a lot of teams will be wary about for long term. So that's what I have to say. To me, this is going to get interesting. Obviously, we're sitting at 18. And if we jump up into the top 13, I hope it's for somebody like Josh Giddey or, you know, other guys that we've talked about. But, it's really hard to say what's going to happen. And I do think that it would be nice to be able to see us have an opportunity to have an option between getting a lot of these players that are sitting at 10 and 15. There's a lot of great guys that are going to be in the NBA for a very, very long time that are sitting here. So for me, if I look at it like we could get two, and you land two of those picks in the top 10 or top 15, this is great. This is exactly what we need to do to build this team. Even I understand we're sitting at 18 and there's going to be some player there, but I rank these guys in the top 15 as being some of the most outstanding athletes coming into the game in a very, very long time.
Yeah, and we've said this about a lot of the guys, pretty much everybody now, but you know, if Corey Kispert was in a different draft, he would be a top 10 pick. But this draft, it looks like he could slip out of the top 10, maybe go somewhere like 13 or 14. That's not too far out of the top 10, so it's really reasonable to see how he would normally fit into the top 10. But this draft is completely stacked, and when you have a draft this stacked, I think you got to go for the looking to get as many players as you can. And I know a lot of people are like, no, you want to get the top level athlete. You want to get the number one pick. But the reality is, if there's not that big of a difference between the number one and the number three, you're better off getting the number three and the number seven than you are just getting the number one. And that's what, basically Boston learned with Jason Tatum. And it was very effective. And I think we have to be willing to look at that. And I love the idea of trading back. That's the type of stuff that we're going to be all about, especially if, teams are willing to give up maybe two picks this year and one pick next year. I mean, we'll be all about that.
Yeah, and don't discard the whole notion if we end up jumping to number one and Houston sitting at number three, Houston making us a sick deal to make a non-guaranteed or make one of the picks that they have unprotected pick, as well as Christian Wood, to move up and us to move back to number three. And the idea of having more draft picks and different things like that where they wouldn't have any protection on would be really great to have But the reality is that just with Cade Cunningham having opportunity to be able to draft him would be a massive asset. But I do think that it would be one of those things that we could pick up a lot of potential picks in this draft, not just this draft, but other drafts as well. And to a team that is desperate to get a guy like Cade, I would love to be able to have that opportunity to sit there and at least be able to gloat and have the opportunity to think about moving back. I know that this is going to upset a lot of people in Oklahoma, but the reality is that having an opportunity to have an extra two, even three first round picks in this draft would mean the difference between rebuilding for a possibly another year and us making a top six in the West. That's what we're talking about. This is the draft to get as many first round picks as you possibly can, or get as many in the top 15 as you possibly can, because these guys are difference makers. The team that's going to have the most picks in the top 15 is going to be the team that everybody looks at in the future as being almost a powerhouse.
Yeah, I mean, if you know one thing about Cade, it's that he can't lead a team out into the playoffs. That's for damn sure. I mean, not to say he won't ever be able to do that, but considering what we saw this year, you know, I'm pretty damn sure he's not going to be able to like go in and immediately turn around a franchise. So getting some of those picks unprotected and getting some more future picks could be a gold mine. I mean, it really could be. So I like that idea. I like looking at that would be totally cool to rob them twice in one draft. We take their first round pick, and then we flip it back to them, and we just fleece them for like the next 7 years to get it back. That would be fucking amazing, dude. I love the way you think. That's the best idea I've heard. All these people that want to have like, oh, well, we'll get Houston's pick, and we'll go number one, and we'll take Cade Cunningham. That shit bores me. I want to fleece them if we get it back.
Yeah, man. To me, you have to be diabolical to be a GM in this league. You have to be able to look past a lot of shit. And Sam Presti's that perfect type of person that, you know, he looks like a very nice person, but he's going to really do whatever it takes to take back as or give out as little as possible and take back as much as possible. To me, this is why I look at this draft as being one of those drafts that if you were to draft, you know, get the number one pick, trading it back and giving a team Cade and having more of a this is who we're going to go with, because this is who the number two pick is going to go with, and we'll get a third and a blank and a blank. To me, it's a no-brainer. Like, this is the draft to do it. This is the draft that you could pick up an all-star, a multi-year all-star for at least 5-6 years in the draft in the top five almost anywhere here. So I think there will be one player in the top five, drafted in the top five, that will not turn out to be as good as everybody thought they were. I'm not saying that's Cade by any stretch of the imagination, but there is a player here that I every time that I see play, whether that's in a regular game or that's an NCAA tournament game or, you know, whatever it is, I get concerned about some of the glaring things. On the other side, I see some of the things that are just unbelievable that I can't help but get excited about. So it's just one of those things where you have to take a step and a deep breath and recognize that anybody that can try to predict who's going to be really great in this league obviously is a terrible, terrible person in the aspect of trying to pick out who of these young 22 or under players are going to be successful, because it's really difficult, because you can't help but look at every single one of these guys and see a huge upside in the NBA. This could be one of those drafts where everybody just gets disappointed and dismayed with the top 10, 15 picks. You really don't know. It's all a crapshoot. We can expect this to be one of the best drafts we've seen in a while, and that's what I'm going to do. And that's why I feel like at this point, we're going to see Sam Presti try to get another pick, if not two, in this draft, because he knows this is what matters and where it's at this year.
Yeah, on another note, I wanted to say that Lu Dort did not make the all-defense team, first or second team this year, but he did receive a first-team vote and a number of second-team votes, I think around 10. So, you know, that's something that's going to come. This is a reputation award, so it's not something you win from just 1 year of defending at a top level. But obviously, if it was, it would be something he deserved. You know, he did it more than just 1 year, but 1 year where everybody knew he was an elite defender. He'll get it next year, I really believe, because, you know, everybody knows that he deserved it this year. So we'll see how that goes. And, you know, I'm pumped up about this team. I'm pumped about adding, you know, a couple new players, a few, and seeing if we can, you know, stock up and really move into the future. And I think, you know, the idea of Corey Kispert is really exciting. And even if he doesn't end up with our team, I anticipate him, like you said, being with a good team like the Warriors or maybe even like the Trailblazers or something like that, who really need a player that can help them out, because he is absolutely a baller.
Yeah, man. And again, this is one of those things where we would have to be just incredibly lucky for this draft pick to go our way. Obviously, it's one of those things that we look at and we circle and we say, okay, these are all the possibilities. We're human, so we can't help to do that. I don't hate the other podcast for always hyper-focusing on the top three or four players in this draft. I understand that. You know, it's one of those things where as a past coach, you can't help sometimes but really focus on your best players and making sure that the role players just do the role things and focusing all your effort on your best players. But the reality is, of this draft, this is the draft to be able to look at that. There's a team that has two potential top 10 picks in this draft. That's the Orlando Magic, sitting at number 3 and sitting at number 8 right now, which is taking the Bulls pick. Here's the thing about this, is that there's always going to be a team that's going to get jumped in the draft process, that's going to get upset about it. I hope this is the Orlando Magic, because I would like to get both of their picks. To me, this is exactly where we need to go. We need to go up. We need to get as many assets in this draft. We're going to keep saying that, because out of all the drafts that I've ever really paid attention to, the 1996 draft, the 2003 draft, we could go on here, but this is one of the drafts that I have to say it's a once in a decade, if not two decade draft. It's insane. I haven't seen this many talented players in one draft in a very, very long time.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens, and we're just excited about, you know, the possibility of having so many picks and having so much flexibility as this draft goes out. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us. Tomorrow, we're going to be back with another player to break down their game and talk about the potential fit with the Oklahoma City Thunder. We really appreciate you taking the time, and we'll see you tomorrow. And just a reminder, this episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.